I was listening to a sermon online. I think it was in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And these passages were used. And the speaker made mention of several things I thought were pretty good ideas. You know, too many times we have a tendency to look at things differently from what the scriptures have to say. And I think that we can notice this, but I was really taken back with the point he made about, you know, that how important hearing is. You know, it's we have to hear the right thing. And I thought, well, that's good. And, you know, take heed how you hear, take heed what you hear. And also, that there sometimes is an overemphasis placed on the speaker. And in here, there is someone, I guess the speaker would be represented by the sower. But that's not what makes the difference. That's not what accomplishes things. It's the seed, not the sower. And now the sower's got a part in it. I'm not saying that's not the case. But I just thought there were several things there just to give somebody some things to think about. We realize that we need to be in control of our activities. And what we do matters and will affect our eternal destiny. And one thing that we need to do is to take heed how we hear. We're going to read here Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 18, actually. And the emphasis in here is on how we hear. What we hear is pretty well simple. But now it's how we hear. That's what the important part is here. So the emphasis is on being the right kind of hearer. And that'll be our study tonight. So Luke chapter 8, and if you start here, I've got 18 up there because that's where it says about take heed. But we're actually looking at the context, the larger context, which begins in verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And some fell on good ground and sprang up and bare 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now let me just pause right there. The people that heard this part of it, they would understand perfectly what he was talking about. They would have had experience, a great number of them would, in sowing themselves and what all that entailed, as well as what the results would be, and the results would depend largely on the soil that received the seed. Now back to our reading in verse 9, his disciples ask him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Now let's pause again. Now, there it is, that's the important thing to remember here. The seed's the word of God. Now, since the seed is the word of God, you look over here and you think, well, what are the soils? Well, the soils are those things that receive the seed. So who is to receive the word of God? Well, that's people, mankind, men and women are to receive that. So this is really what it's talking about here. And so then he goes right into that by talking about people and how they hear and what happens, what they do with the Word of God. In verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they that fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter it in might see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. If this is true about the seed being the Word of God and then the soils being people, then what this is saying that there's four different kind of hearers. And the thing is that everybody in this building tonight, myself included, is one of these kinds of soils here. You know, and so you know, we need to examine ourselves to see which one it is. And there are things to avoid, and there are things, you know, to understand what happens here, why the seed doesn't do the good that it can do. And the problem is not with the seed. The problem here, when there isn't any kind of production, is with the soil. It would be with you and me. So we learn that in the parable that the seed is the Word of God, the soils represent different type of hearers. So what is the wayside soil? Well, the wayside soil represents those who fall prey to the devil and his devices. That's what you see there in verse 12. Now we're told over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, and you know the passage, it says that we're not ignorant of his devices. We ought to know how the devil works. And all we've got to do to know how the devil works is to go over here to the instruction manual, and it will tell us how the devil works. You know, this is a good thing about things that serve as instruction manuals. I've often heard other individuals who will come along and say, oh, well, now the Bible isn't an instruction manual. And I thought to myself, if it tells you anything at all to do, it's pretty much an instruction manual. You know, we've got one of those things in the car. We've had that Journey now about 4 years, and I don't know what it is. But sometimes when you hit the lock button and shut the door, it goes through this little series of beeps, and then all the locks open up again. We don't know why that is, and I keep telling myself, look at the owner's manual. It'll probably tell you in there. You know, it tells you a lot of things, doesn't it? You know, owner's manuals. I haven't looked at this one, but I know for years, anytime you looked in an owner's manual, it would tell you how to start the car. It would tell you how to change a tire, how to turn on the heater or the air conditioning, and all those kinds of things. And all the things are in there, all the instructions in it. If it tells you anything to do, it's an instruction manual. Now, it would be foolish to say if the Bible isn't this. It is. And the Bible tells us about Satan and what he does and how he's going to come at us. He's going to appeal to things that are going to resonate with us. When you stop and think about the principle of it comes along with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's how it works. And that's how it worked in the garden. Just stop and think about Eve and when the devil came there. What did he try to do? Oh, well, first thing was to get inside her head. Now, she knew perfectly that God said, don't eat of this tree or you'll die. The devil said, no, you won't. No, you won't. God knows if you eat of that tree, it'll make you wise. And pretty soon, Eve looked at it and thought, that looks like something that would be good. She bought the whole outfit. But he threw all these weapons at her. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Did the same thing with Jesus. You think about the number of years that passed from the Garden of Eden to Jesus. And he's still using the same procedure. Why is he doing that? Why didn't he come up with something new? Why would you change if it's been successful? And so down to today, has he changed? He hasn't changed anything. And so if we know how these things operate, you know, well, we ought to work at trying to avoid them. But the wayside soil, that's the soil that's trampled down. It's hard. The seed can't penetrate because it's been hardened by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They won't believe, and they consequently won't be saved in verse 12. The next one that you see there in verse 13 is the rocky soil. And the rocky soil represents those who hear, you know, superficially. It just it doesn't penetrate like it should. It does a little bit now, but it doesn't go deep. It says it has no root. Roots grow on any kind of a plant, and the whole thing about root is that it's looking for moisture. And they'll go as deep as they can to find enough moisture to provide for the plant that's above. That's why you go out here in the garden, you know, like in the flower garden out here in the front, and you take a look at the roots. If you pull up one of the plants out there, they're not very big. Well, they don't need a whole lot of water. They get all they need from the roots. They're not going to be, you know, you're not going to have one of these petunias out there and have roots 10 feet long. I mean, come on. But then you get to something bigger like a tree. And look at what kind of a root that a tree will have. And even a network of roots. It's really something, isn't it? But they need that kind of thing. But here, the roots never get a chance to develop. And it says that they bleed for a while, times of temptation come, and they fall away. I think to myself that there are those where the, you know, the word just doesn't penetrate. I know we could go to a lot of different examples in the scriptures, but this one in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. In Acts chapter 24 and 25, there's Felix and his wife Drusilla in verse 24. And they sent for Paul, and they wanted to hear him concerning the faith. Now, I'm pretty well confident that when they sent for him and Paul got there and they want to hear things concerning the faith, they heard concerning the faith. And I think also they heard things that they needed to hear. You ought to just look up Felix and especially Drusilla, and you'd find out exactly why the next verse says what it does. That he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. These were two people that needed to hear about righteousness. And especially if you find anything out about their history, temperance or self-control. These were people that were more the times than not lacking in any self-control. And they need to hear that. And they also, like anyone else, need to hear about judgment to come. You need to clean up your act. You need to get your lives turned around the right way. And then you see that Felix understood this. He trembled. It had an effect. He answered and he said, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Well, it had an effect, didn't it? But it was superficial. Ever call for him again? Ever any change or anything that would come about? No. Nothing much out of this. And as a matter of fact, when you look at other things that he had to say later, you would believe to yourself that he's kind of skeptical of the whole thing. The thorny soil here represents those who are distracted by the cares of the world. I think this is one of those things where we really, you know, all of us need to just sit up and pay close attention. It talks about the cares, riches, pleasures of this life. They're easy. They're available. but they can also do a great amount of harm. I think to myself sometimes, there's very little things that exist that are part and parcel of sin that don't have some kind of a good usage to them, whatever it is. I mean, even the poppy plant from which opioids are developed. And opioids aren't wrong in and of themselves. You know, they've been used as painkillers for as long as anybody can remember. Now they've got synthetic ones. But the poppy plant itself was a good thing. It provides for insects and other things. And even the opioids are good. But it's what people will do oftentimes with good things. There's what the problem is. And there's what makes them into sinful things. But it's just so easy. And they have this, and of course they have an appeal. And if they didn't have an appeal, well then people, you know, it wouldn't give them a second notice. In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. He spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now the problem here isn't that the man is rich. The problem here is not that the man was successful at what he did. Obviously, in an agrarian society, he was a farmer and he was very successful at this. And the problem's not that he decided, well, I need more room to store the fruits of my labor. That's not the problem either. The problem is explained for us that he'd left God out. In all of his getting, he didn't get time. Didn't have time. Didn't set aside time for God. And that's what the problem is right here. He was distracted by all these other things. How many times are there? You know, people will come along. And you've seen it. I haven't seen a whole lot of it, but I've seen it. And you see where someone goes into something different. You know, they take a job, maybe their shift work or this and that and the other. And I'm not talking about, you know, I worked shift work for years. Now, I got to where I worked straight nights, you know. And the reason I worked straight nights was simple. If I missed very much by working on days on Sunday, if I missed very much, they'd be growling at me and they'd be doing this and that. There'd be threats and all this other stuff. I just gave that up. I thought, I'll just work straight nights. You know, there's not too many churches that meet between 11 o'clock at night and 7 in the morning. So I thought, I got that out of the way. Hey, it was kind of tough sometimes, getting off at 7 in the morning on Sunday morning. But you can arrange things, but you got to be aware sometimes and think ahead. Is this something that can get in the way? It did with this man. It can with us. You know, we had a member at Arkansas that he was looking for a better job. And so he signed on with a trucking company. And they gave him a song and dance that, oh, well, it won't interfere, you know, with you going to services on Sunday, one thing or another. I thought, well, okay. And he went along with that, and I remember telling him, I said, Jimmy, I said, I'm afraid you're going to find out that's not true. And he did. When they gave him a schedule, he was going to be gone in places where he didn't know if there was a church there or not. I didn't either. and on the road, you know. And he said, I think they played me. I said, yeah, that's what they'll do. They'll tell you anything. Desperate for drivers. And so on. He said, well, I'm going to have to tell them I just can't do this. I thought, well, good for you. But now I also realize that sometimes people don't say that. They don't do that. They say, well, it doesn't matter. Which becomes more important then? Which is, well, I would say it should always be God that's more important. And we not become distracted by the cares of the world. They'll pull us away. That's another device of Satan, by the way. Then there's the good ground, the last one. The good ground represents those who are obedient to the gospel of Christ. I'd like to go over here to Colossians chapter 1. There are lots of places we could look, but I think Colossians chapter 1 is good for this. In verses 3 through 6, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for always for you. Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before, and where'd they hear it? In the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. The good ground produces. Now, in this particular account of the parable, you can look at the one in Matthew and Mark, and it talks about how it brings forth 30, 60, 100. Luke's just got one amount, but the idea is that it will produce. And that's what the seed is supposed to do. Now, another thing that we need to take into consideration while we're talking about take heed how you hear. We need to take heed not to be forgetful hearers. You know the passages there in James chapter 1, verse 25, where it talks about being like the person who looks in a mirror and then turns away and forgets what he looks like. Can you imagine that kind of thing? Why'd you look in the mirror to begin with? What'd you see in there? And you can just walk away. I just don't know what I look like. I don't know what I saw back there a few moments ago, and so on. I understand that mirrors back then were polished pieces of metal that gave off a reflection. Might not be the best reflection in the world, but it was something. And don't be forgetful hearers, but be doers of the word. Now, how many promises and vows to God have been made when tribulation strikes? Think about that. How many have there been? And then what happens? Well, things level off. What about all those promises? Where did they get? Well, they evaporated. That's what happens there. And so what is it? Well, you know, that's kind of that forgetful hearer, isn't it? And then here's another thing. How many times, and I know I'm guilty of this, how many times have I remembered something during a sermon? Something that's a good point. And it really hits home. You know, it really resonates with me. And yet, I leave it behind in the building when the door closes behind me. A lot of times I need to write these things down and take them with me. But I mean, that's what we need to do. However it is that we do this, to take a message with us, or the point that works, the point that we can see and that we can use, you know, take it with us and use it. We also don't want to be like those who are described a lot of times as dull of hearing or hard of hearing, like in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. But I wonder, really, you know, there could be that person that's hard of hearing. But how about this one? How about when a person is hard of hearing, in a lack of effort, don't even try to hear? Some kind of slavish adherence to a tradition kind of gets in the way of what the truth is. Both of those are possible. Both of those can contribute to being hard of hearing. And of course, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 talks about those who have those itching ears, and they'll turn away from the truth and turn to fables. You know, itching ear hearers. is what it's talking about there. They like flattering, smooth speech. And I would say that they like not what they need, but what they want to hear. I remember being a young fella, my dad, I know I've said this several times, but my dad told me one day when I was telling him what I needed. I just needed some. I don't remember what it is now. But I just needed something desperately, I thought. And I remember him looking at me, and he said, "Son, what you need and what you want are two different things." See, I thought I needed it. I didn't. I just wanted it. That's the first lesson I had to learn. And what you want and what you need are two different things. Yeah, they really are. And I think back again to one that we looked at just a few moments ago with Felix and Drusilla. I have this feeling, reading between the lines, that they really thought they were going to hear something else. But what they heard was not what they wanted to hear. They heard what they needed to hear. And that's what we need sometimes, that kind of thing. And then there are those that were there at the end of Acts chapter 7 with Stephen. And they didn't much care for what he had to say. They were enraged by this. It says that they stopped up their ears. You know, just covered up their ears, not going to hear anymore. And that's what we do when we believe that it's something that we just don't want to hear. Even if it is what we need to hear, we're just not going to do it. And I think that happens, you know, quite often. So while those are the, you know, to take heed not to be those kinds of hearers, we ought to take heed to be obedient hearers. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is laying out some, I always call them alternatives. It's kind of the conclusion of the sermon, and at the conclusion of the sermon, he calls on folks to do things like enter at the straight gate, seek the narrow way, beware of false prophets and other things like that. And he gets over here and he talks about the rock or the sand and what kind of foundation you build on. And you know what you find with these? Is that both of them, it says, whether it's the sand or the rock, both of them hear these sayings of mine. They both hear them. One does them, the other one doesn't. There's where the difference is. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock." Well, that would happen, you know, if this was just about the construction business and building houses. I think what it's talking about here is to think about hearing these sayings of mine and doing them. Well, that do for you and for your faith. Well, it'll be able to stand no matter what comes along and hits it. Wind, rain, and everything that would be damaging to a house, whatever be damaging to you. If you'll hear these things and do them, if you'll be an obedient hearer. Now back to James chapter 1 again, and we find another kind of hearer back there. We saw one kind, the kind not to be. But there is a kind back here that we ought to follow as an example. It's in James chapter 1 and verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." We need to be swift hearers. I don't think we need to hear something 20 times. We might need to hear it a second time to make sure it's what we heard the first time. But sometimes, to be frank about it, people hear the same thing over and over and over again, and they're just really dragging their feet. And I don't know how there is. How many different ways can you say the same thing? I don't know. You know, I've been in Bible class and had someone ask me the same question 6 or 7 different ways. I'm always tempted when that happens to say, "I have no new information since the last time you asked me." You know, I don't know how you do it. You ask a question, here's the answer. You can answer it 6-7 different ways. If the answer is going to be the same. That's how it is with the Word of God. It doesn't change. It's static. The answers are always right there. And so when we hear the answer and we understand, when we hear what we need to hear and we understand what the answer is, we ought to act upon that. And isn't that what you see in the New Testament? Isn't that what you see in the book of Acts? How many times did those Jews on Pentecost hear the gospel? How many? Well, I guess they heard it one time. And what was there? About 3,000? One time. It can work like that. That's right. If you're swift to hear and to act upon it. Now, folks that aren't, they could hear it. They could hear it 3,000 times and wouldn't obey it at all. You get the idea? Sure you do. Now, here's another one. And we're getting into this in Bible class on Sunday morning. How about the Ethiopian treasurer? Eunuch, sometimes he's called, in Acts chapter 8. He just kind of has this encounter with Philip on the road. And a conversation, and Philip begins to preach to him Jesus. And what happens next? Well, the eunuch wants to do something about this. He said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? How many times did he hear the gospel? How many times? Well, as far as I know, he heard it once. Was he swift to hear? Yeah. Swift to respond, too, is the idea. And then how about Cornelius? Good man that Cornelius was. And he was told to send for Peter. Peter had some important things that he would be able to tell Cornelius. And so Cornelius didn't waste any time. He sent some men to fetch Peter. And Peter gets over there. And to Cornelius' credit, that while this is taking place, the fetching of Peter, Cornelius gets his relatives and the people in his house and everything, gets them all together because he knows this is something that's important. You do that when it's something that's important. So right away you know, oh, this is something that could really turn into a good thing. And what happens there when Peter gets over there? Well, he sees what's going on here and he understands the vision that he had, not to call the Gentiles over here common or unclean, but he preaches Christ to them. They believe it. They're obedient to it. They heard it one time. One time. Swift to hear, swift to act. And then, of course, we would come to Acts chapter 16 where there's the jailer. And Paul and Silas in the jail. And they're singing. And they're praying. And not only could the men in the prison hear them, apparently the jailer could too. Because when he came in, he went straight to them. He didn't go to anybody else. He didn't try to build up the guards in one thing and another to be a protective force or anything like that. He went straight to them. And what happens at the rest of this? Well, they go out of the prison and he kind of takes care of them, and then they tell him about Jesus. They tell him the word of the Lord. And the next thing you know, same hour of the night, it says, he and his household were baptized. Swift to hear, swift to act. Are we that way? Hope so. I think there's been lots of times where that's been the case. And if it isn't, what's the problem? Is the problem with the word? Is the problem with the teacher? Where's the problem at? Well, most of the time, the problem would be with the one who hears. So we need to take heed how we hear. Be the right kind of hearer is the point. Take your songbooks, turn to the song that's been selected. What kind of hearer are you? Have you heard the gospel? Do you believe it? Will you obey it? Can we assist you in that tonight? We'd be happy to do so. If you're subject to the invitation, why don't you come? While together we stand and sing.